Welcome back to Cinema Vino. I feel refreshed from vacation. I feel lively.
Good for you.
You don't look good.
No, but I feel good. And I'm lathered up in Lever 2000. I smell good.
Oh, watch your cat while you're gone. Huh? Shit all over the place.
He did.
You didn't leave any paper towels for me to clean up anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sexual thing?
But anyway.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. And so we're going to get back to our usual routine. Last time we drew Three Amigos for our movie.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the village of Santa Poco. And we're going to watch Three Amigos, which is an 80s classic. Then we're going to get hammered while we watch it. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to you about it.
I'm excited.
So just a little pre-story here.
Huh.
Taylor and I are already fairly saucy.
Why do you have to say that?
Well, I just want the listeners to know that you're definitely sauced. I'm already half bottle of wine in.
Is this not America?
This is America.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tread on snake.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
this is a democracy.
Well, so Todd will be playing catch up, but if this entire podcast is bullshit, that's why.
Yeah.
Aww.
I'm going to get slathered on cervezas and tequila. So when we come back from this little shenanigan, we're going to be good and hammered.
Oh, we all shared a shot of tequila, and I think before we start the movie, we should do maybe one more.
Okay. So Travis is here blasting me, and then next thing, he's going to butt chug a bottle of tequila.
He wants to ride the roller coaster.
I just want to see. I want to test all methods of consuming tequila.
Put
that worm in my butt.
I guess it don't cost nothing.
So I think hashtag put that worm in my butt is going to be the go-to for after this episode. So if you're on Twitter, go ahead and look that up.
Yeah.
Hashtag mezcal.
Is this mezcal?
We are drinking Cimarron Reposado.
Mm-hmm.
And then what beers are we drinking tonight?
Plethora.
Yeah.
Bunch of cervezas. We got a
plethora.
Cayman Jack margaritas. We got Pacificos. We got Sol's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a little bit of this, a little of that.
And this is all thanks to my wife, Joanna, who's sweet as can be.
Yeah, it's just lovely.
So we're going to go Too Many Cooks and watch this movie and... we'll be back with some commentary on the classic movie, Three Amigos, so stick around.
I apologize for my slurring.
Goodbye.
Welcome back to Cinema Vino. We just watched Three Amigos. We took multiple shots of tequila. We drank multiple cervezas, tecates, pacificos, Dos Equis, and something else.
Yeah, so basically no vino.
Oh, Cayman Jack? I had one. I tried to mix it into a margarita form. It did not work.
Yes. To quote Shaquille O'Neal, Paul Pierce is the motherfucking truth.
To quote Shaquille O'Neal, I am Kazam.
Welcome to Cinevino.
Welcome to Thunderdome.
Okay.
So, Three Amigos.
Okay. Sorry. All right. It's fine.
Yeah, we're good. We've got this. I wish we had understudies who could just kind of come in and swap us out when we're like...
So we were only going to take two shots of tequila, one at the beginning and then one at the end. I came up with a great idea to take the amount of time in the movie, divide it by two, and take a mid-movie shot.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad idea because I almost vomited. I became very salivacious right in the middle. However, it just gave me more strength to take the third shot, which was at the end.
Yeah. Well, if anything, you know, you didn't, you know, give a prequel that we'd had a few drinky poos before this started.
Oh, that's right.
So I do think Todd pounded, you know, he was playing catch up. And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
But what a good movie to start with the tequila.
And I mean,
I think every shot we all did an extra kick.
It's like, and Todd is taking notes and just drawing dicks, I guess.
Yeah, I've got a notepad and a pen, which is really handy in front of me, and I just drew a schlong. As anatomically correct as I can do it.
It was not very big.
No, it is. Well, we've all been there. It's the motion in the ocean.
I know for sure he's seen a bigger one than that. That's
what they told me on prom night. Okay, so... Three Amigos.
Yes.
So, we watched it. We screened it. Brief summary for people who haven't seen it in a while. It's basically the SNL comedy version of Magnificent Seven. It's like three actors, silent actors, get called into Mexico, you know, right after the turn of the century. Silent movies are big. They have to rescue a village from an evil gangster. Eli Wallach was the bad guy in Magnificent Seven. I forget, Alfonso Arau, who was the bad guy in Wild Bunch, is the bad guy here. He plays El Guapo, which is a play on words. He's not handsome.
That's so, movie Guapo.
I mean, El Guapo means good looking.
Mm-hmm. Basically, okay. Yeah. Or the handsome.
Here's what's kind of funny, and I'm digressing completely. So it did say that Lorne Michaels was the executive producer.
Yeah.
When was like the first SNL quote unquote film? Was it Animal House?
I don't think that was Lorne Michaels.
Okay.
I mean, it had a lot of people from
SNL. Yeah.
But I think this was probably the very first
one.
Yeah.
Because I saw that. I was like, wow. Would you say 86?
So this is 1986 was this film.
I was like, holy crap.
When
it
hit theaters.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to think that a mere six years later that maybe Wayne's World came out.
Wayne's World. So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah.
You had that whole Austin Powers.
Yeah. Bigelow. So the male gigolo. The Animal.
Jesus Christ.
Rob Schneider.
That's where the wheels fell off the wagon.
Yeah. But I mean, so that might have been maybe the first SNL, or at least like Lorne
production,
Michaels. Production. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it's like that first wave of people hit it so big that they definitely all had movie careers. Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner, Steve Martin. That whole Bill Murray, they all hit it big at that point. Yeah. But then it's like, this was like the first time of like Lorne Michaels actually bringing them together for a movie.
Yeah.
You had John Lovitz in this one.
Yeah.
You had
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
So this was definitely an SNL centric movie.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
I read where the lady who played Carmen, the actress, recently passed away.
Oh.
So, yeah. Steve Martin's love interest in this.
Too bad she's fine.
She was good looking.
Yeah, she was. For my light part in all this, you know, kids always have those movies. Kids are creatures of habit. They watch movies over and over and over. This was my movie that I watched many, many, many times as a kid. Now kids watch Frozen, and that sucks because I watched Three Amigos over and over and over.
Yeah. So my dad had one story about this film, about how he was going to go see a completely different movie. And he does not even remember what it was. And he all of a sudden, like, you know, Three Amigos was playing. He was like, I guess I'll go sit in and watch this for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. And he sat in, watched it. He was like, this is fucking stupid. And then left, went to go see his other movie when it started. And he cannot even remember what the other film was because... the Three Amigos grew on him so much after that. He was like, for whatever reason, was just not in the mood, watched like the first 15, 20 minutes, was like, fuck this, and I'm ready for my other film.
Yeah.
And remembers that not at all, and this one has grown on him years after.
Yeah.
This is the one that makes him laugh so hard for so many stupid reasons.
Yes. I mean, it's exactly what I was talking to him tonight, Travis's dad, and that's exactly the story he told. He was like, yeah, you know, I don't know if Travis told you, but he's, you know, I was going to see a different movie, and I got that, and I just wasn't into it. And I was telling you guys, like, I think I've seen this movie maybe four times all the way through, and every time I just don't think I was in the mood for it. At least the first couple times, I'm like, I don't get it, or whatever. But I always feel like every time I see the movie in like certain segments, I'm like dying laughing.
Yeah.
You know, so this might have been the first time I've seen this movie all the way through in maybe like five, six, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's the little things we were picking up on during this film. It was like, why are there so many damn chickens?
Chickens are everywhere.
Chickens are damn everywhere.
Continuity's off.
And like, I remember looking over Todd a few times and being like, they just want to push this movie through. I mean, like, there was no breaks. It's like, boom, 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 we're doing this. And to me, I thought that was 10 times funnier. It's like, they just keep going. And we're just going to keep going.
Lorne Michaels somewhere in the background is like, we got to keep it moving.
I was like, we got to keep it going, guys.
We're on a budget here.
Come on.
Film the next scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely a very rushed.
Yeah.
You know, it was but, 90-something minutes and felt like it.
But I think it worked that way. It was like, you know, it just kept going. It's like, you know, they set a premise, and then they were like, we're just going to roll with it. We're just going to keep going, keep moving, keep, you know, I was like, okay. So.
A lot of nods to old movies. It's like, we were just in California, which, you know, we took a little break from San Bernardino to go to Orange County, me and my wife. And we went to the Warner Brothers backlot, and it really had the feel like in this movie where you go there and it's like Warner Brothers. I told her Warner Brothers and Paramount to me are like the old school theaters or old school movie studios where it's like that's like dawn of movie making, and it still kind of has that feel when you're going around there. You see people carrying props around and like, you know, costumes. It's still very much that, you know, oh, some guy's lugging a camera across the set,
yeah,
you know, to somewhere, and it's like it still kind of has that old school Hollywood feel to it. And seeing this in this movie, it's like. That reminded me of like old school Hollywood of Flugelman Studios and like.
Oh yeah,
but then they do the silent movies and they do the backdrop, the matte paintings and this,
God,
the Roy Rogers type songs. It's like this is a very much a nod to old school like, movie making, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it said it was like, you know, Mexico 1912. You know, when the first started, like that's cool. They set that film in that time era. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
I dug the very beginning of the intro to the Amigos. And then that just set the stage for once they were, you know, actually in the world, interacting with it, and then of the El Guapo world when once they were, you know, on that stage, and you got to see all of their foibles come to the forefront, and there was some solid Martin Short acting going on there.
He was good throughout.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I would say. Of the three, his portrayal was solid throughout. Yeah.
And like, I kind of agree that. Like, I think Todd and I asked Todd, knowing he's the movie buff, I was like, man, who was the bigger star at the time? I was like, was it, you know, Steve Martin or was it Chevy Chase?
It's a big debate.
Yeah. And it was, and like, you know, I think I agree with Todd. And I think it was Chevy Chase at the time. He had done a little bit more.
By a nose.
And it's so weird to be like, Martin Short was the unknown at the time. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that? Yeah. Like, which I think, and honestly, after watching it, might have been the better actor.
He was the funniest.
And, might have been the funniest of all of that. So it's so crazy to think that in 86 that he was like, you know, the up and coming, if anything.
The most approved.
Yeah.
So. Spinning out of this movie is my thoughts. I know we've already watched one of my films, but like, Taylor, I don't think you've ever seen Roxanne with Steve Martin.
Is that where he was a firefighter?
Yes.
Yes. I've seen it very similar to like, you know, Three Amigos. I sat down and watched it from start to finish? No. Do I know of it? Yes.
So I really, after this film, two movies I want to watch is Roxanne with Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah, and Inner Space with Martin Short, Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid, and Meg Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah, Roxanne's a hell. It's Cyrano de Bergerac. It's a hell of a movie. Mm-hmm. That's one of both Steve of Martin's. Them are. Yeah, like, Inner they're Space both great.
Is weird and.
Steve Martin had a great 80s. Run in the late 80s of like between that and Parenthood. I mean, he had some great like late 80s movies.
Yeah. Good show.
Did Lorne Michaels do Cabin Boy?
Dave Letterman did produce Cabin Boy.
Believe you got it or any not.
Because Chris Elliott started as a writer on Dave Letterman. And so.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Also,
a first SNL Letterman film, first and last.
Bit of trivia about Three Amigos. The director who first took an interest in it, believe it or not, this is going to be fucking crazy, was Steven Spielberg.
Really?
And he damn near signed off on directing it because he did 1941. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
With
the World War II comedy with Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, all the SNL guys. He loved those guys. And so when that script first made it around, Steve Martin wrote it like early 80s. It made its way to Steven Spielberg, and he said, yeah, I want to do that. And so he was going to move forward with a cast of Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi as the Three Amigos. Hmm. And I don't know if it was Belushi's death that blew that up, or if he got committed to E.T. because that script probably got finished ahead of schedule after Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he had to move ahead with that.
Yeah.
But he was originally interested in directing that.
That's cool.
So John Landis directed it, and I believe he did Animal House before that, and then...
Yes.
After that, I think was American Werewolf.
No, that's London. John Carpenter. I think John Carpenter did that. You might need to verify that. But.
No, American Werewolf in London was fucked up because everybody went to go see it, mm-hmm. thinking that it was going to be a comedy because of John Landis. But it was John Landis that did it,
mm-hmm.
and they were all like, oh, shit, this isn't what we thought. I mean, I might have the year wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you you're looking it up.
In London, right?
Because
John Landis did Blues Brothers around that time.
American Werewolf in London is John Landis.
And you might be right. You might be right.
But what year?
1981.
Oh, shit. That's earlier. What's Animal House then? What year was
78.
That?
And John Landis.
That's a good call. I was so. What did John Carpenter direct?
I'm not surprised.
I'm sorry. Here we go. Travis getting sassy.
Catch up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Son of a bitch! I didn't. No,
I would not have guessed that.
You know what's funny? It's like when I saw that film through a few of my cousins who lived out of town. They were like, "Hey, let's watch." And, you know, I might have been like 7, 8 years old. And I'm like, "What the hell am I watching?" And it was like, but honestly, I thought it was kind of a comedy as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why everybody thought, like, they were like, John Landis is directing this. This is going to be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And everybody went to go see Werewolves of London. They were like, oh, shit, this is not what I thought.
Werewolves of London is a hell of a goddamn song. So it makes sense that John Landis, a little bit, directed that. I mean, obviously, I blanked out, clearly. But he directed the Thriller music video with Michael Jackson.
And that
definitely has that horror, you know, werewolfy.
Well, because, like, I was telling Tom, you know, I was like, I remember watching that movie and, like, in that, the theater scene where he looks over and, you know, it has that jacked up face. I'm like, what the? And, you know, as a young kid, I'm like, what is going on? Mm. I was like, I am so confused.
Yeah.
P.S. Maybe also one of the worst endings. Well, maybe not worst, but it's like, a very odd ending to a film. It's like, well, they just killed the werewolf. Oh, P.S. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 40 years out now.
Yeah, 40 years. It's like, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
In Thriller or other?
In American Werewolf.
Oh, yeah. I was like, the movie's just, it's done.
Side note, John Landis's career was greatly hamstrung. He was very close to Steven Spielberg, and he... directed the, you know, there's a Twilight Zone movie that came out in the early 80s, and they did four different directors, each directing a classic Twilight Zone segment. Steven Spielberg, George Miller, I think.
Oh, shit.
John Landis, and there was one other guy, and I can't remember the other guy. I mean, it was like Joe Dante. It was one another, like, it was two big time directors and then two up and comings, and I think John Landis and Steven Spielberg were the two. Big.
Coming, yeah.
They were the two big.
At the time, yeah, you're right, yeah, big. Yeah.
And then George Miller and there was another guy were the two up and coming. John Landis's segment was the Twilight Zone episode where the bigoted racist guy gets transported back to a Vietnam village and he has to rescue these two kids as there's an attack. And so...
In the first Twilight Zone, the movie?
Yeah, this was 82. And they're in... Taylor just belched.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
Smarf. And so, R.I.P. Smarf. And so, Vic Morrow was an actor's name, and he was carrying these two kids out of this fake Vietnamese village in this scene. And there was a helicopter, and a helicopter, like the rotor blade, clipped part of the, like, I think it was like the soundstage equipment or the lighting or something, and it crashed, and it killed the actor, killed the two kids. And so it was extremely irresponsible. Vic Morrow's daughter was Jennifer Jason Leigh, the actress. And so it was a huge lawsuit. Spielberg was the producer. And so I think they were found negligent, maybe. John Landis was definitely found negligent for having that whole scene filmed the way it was. that greatly like crippled his career.
Whoa.
And so
that's crazy.
That's why he kind of hit it big with Animal House, Blues Brothers, American Werewolf. His career gradually like was on the way down. It really never recovered because the lawsuit was kind of happening around the time of Three Amigos. It was kind of like in that same time period, and he never got over that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I mean, like, I was kind of just glancing at his stuff, and I was like, yeah, he never really did anything after that. But it's weird because, you know, like, again, you know, I'm not justifying what happened, but it's like, you know, different times. Mm-hmm. But wasn't there a whole thing? It's like that. When they all walk into the Animal House and that bottle is shattered, like right next to Belushi's head, or was mm-hmm. it somebody, or you know, or even Flounder, was it Flounder? Is that his name?
Pinto, somebody,
yeah, whatever, yeah. But it was like that was like a real bottle, and mm-hmm. it was like it was just that close.
Crazy.
And the actor was just so nonchalant, was like, oh yeah. But it's like, I mean, a lot of crazy shit happened during those years.
Yeah,
like those, yeah,
did
like
they,
this.
They did a full bottle? I thought they did, like, the sugar bottles or whatever. The ones that would, like, the easily...
Oh, yeah. The breakaway.
Yeah, but it was, well, regardless, it was so close to the head. It's like someone actually threw it, and it shattered so close. But it was just... I think it was Belushi was, like, was just no... He was just like, oh, I don't care. But yeah. It was just that close. Mm. And I was like, if that would have hit him in the head, you know, you think about that nowadays, it's like, oh, that would have been... Yeah, like lawsuits, like you said. It's like, mm-hmm. ugh.
When it was like that, that was a huge, like, multi-million dollar lawsuit because that resulted in death.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was like that was.
Well, multiple deaths.
And not only.
Three people died?
Yeah. Damn, two of them were kids, yeah. Child actors. Mm. And that was a huge deal because it's like normally when you have deaths in filming a movie, it's going to be stunt people mm-hmm. who have. Usually some kind of contract that kind of clears the studio / filmmakers of wrongdoing in the event of
except,
like...
Except just recently, sorry, continue your thought.
Mm-hmm. Usually, not always, but there's going to be something that clears like the studio of like if something happens, it's like, well, you're riding you know, a plane that's crashing or you're on a horse that's going off a cliff.
You know
it's like
that. Yeah.
Something may happen and it kind of indemnifies the studio. But in this situation, you actually had the talent, like Vic Morrow, who was a known actor. You had the actual, like, instead of stunt people, you had the talent. And so that's what kind of sank John Landis's big moment.
Man. But so just recently in the news has been the, in one of the Resident Evil movies, one of the stunt people lost her arm. And that's popped back up in the news because she's been then suing the studio for negligence in that regard. I don't even know if it's the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the
12th.
Sixth. I have no clue which movie it is, but that's the only stunt person that I've remembered in recent times. Like, actually suing the studio.
CGI has taken a lot of that off of the
studios. That's a good point, yeah.
Studios.
That's a good, very good point, yeah.
But back to the Amigos, it's like...
Oh, yeah.
There's no like CGI in this movie, but you got like very obvious fake backgrounds, animatronic animal.
Yeah. But, you know, and like I think we talked about it, it's almost humorous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time...
Deliberately.
Yeah, it's like deliberately humor. You know, it's just like, that's pretty good. You know, so, you know, with that comedy... You don't need, yes, it's just, yeah, oh, like, oh, Travis is yawning, mm-hmm. but it's like, but before we came over, we were kind of, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Night, Nettie. It's like, but, you know, we might have had on the background, before we came over, John Wick 3, and you talk about just the whole different types of films that we just watched, you know, something that's just like huge CGI, you know, total, you know, just war breakout. And then to watch this film, I was like, I hate to say it, like, I prefer Three Amigos.
Yeah.
I was like, this was way better. It's like, you know, every scene was probably all natural. There were mm-hmm. no stunt doubles. I mean, maybe for some of the shooting scenes, but it's like...
Mm-hmm. Or a mannequin dropping out of the sky.
Okay,
I like those little special
hey,
effects.
Hey, do we know? I mean, we don't know. That might have been Martin Short. R. We R. just don't know.
I don't think he can crumple at all. So it could have been
Martin Short looks the same.
You know he was just durable.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
super durable,
dirigible.
Mm-hmm. I like those old, like the Wizard of Oz, where they do the twister with like the, they wrap like whatever tape around a thing and like spin it in the background for a twister. I like those old special effects where it's like, you know, it was something practical.
Oh, yeah.
Something crazy.
Sick fuck.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where they like inject like paint into whatever like kind of drum or whatever to create like a cloud.
Oh, forming. Yeah.
It's like,
you do.
I like that kind of stuff. It's just practical. Yeah.
It shows.
Travis is speaking pornographically for some reason, and I don't know why.
Why are you so angry? Mm-hmm. Why are you so mad? You need more corn dogs.
It's too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
But a couple of things, last-minute trivia things, was Elmer Bernstein, who did the music to Magnificent Seven, also did the music to Three Amigos. Magnificent Seven was the old classic, like Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen, Western. Same guy did the music. Randy Newman did the songs.
Yeah, if you were telling me, I was like, and he had a writing credit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, was
voiceover
it?
Over?
I think Randy Newman legit wrote some of the movie with Steve Martin.
That probably makes sense. I was like, how did he get a writing credit unless it was just because of the music?
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of weird. It's like, is it written by Randy Newman, Steve Martin, and somebody else?
It's kind of shocking. It's like,
yeah,
man. And yeah, Lorne Michaels produced, John Land. I mean, it was a superstar group of people who made it. It would have been more interesting to see Steven Spielberg take that on with Steve Martin and Aykroyd and Belushi.
I hate to say it. This might not be. I don't think it would have been as funny. I think Chevy and I also think that Short just like.
Martin Short's extremely funny.
They're just more laid back guys. Mm-hmm. You know, dare I say that, you know, Belushi might have tried to have been over the top. You know, and it's like, and again, this was an over the top comedy.
Mm-hmm. But Aykroyd too.
He's like, could he have gone off script?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I feel like that most of those guys would have gone. They would have put. They would have portrayed the lines the way they would have. You know, like this is how I'll do them. But those other guys might have gone off script enough. So who knows? I mean, yeah, who knows? Yeah,
I loved it the way it was.
Yeah, some of these. Yeah, for sure. Like other people that should have been in these other films, like John Candy was supposed to play the part that Rick Moranis did in Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, I mean, he would have done great, but you keep thinking about those other casts and you're like,
Belushi's Venkman. Yeah.
Exactly. You can't put that quite in your head. You're just like, it doesn't. After seeing it on screen, celluloid. Doesn't quite translate as well with somebody else trying to embody that same part.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to take a brief break and we're going to draw our next movie.
I'm excited.
So, come back and join us on Cinema Vino. And
touch me.
But come back.
Welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Hey guys.
Hola.
We're going to draw our next movie that we're going to watch.
Sure are.
Travis is so mean right now.
Yeah, he's being very aggressive. I think it's the Cervezas and probably the Amigos. Just saying.
Too many Vinos. Mm-hmm. With no wine.
Spoil the broth.
Yeah. So this could get a little spicy.
What are we about to snatch out of here, Tay?
So, yeah. Because we did Travis's movie first, 13th Warrior, and then we did my movie tonight, which is Three Amigos. Travis and I are exempt from this drawing, and we're doing Taylor's movie.
Okay, I put in like...
Taylor's movies.
Yeah, I put in like six movies, or whatever it was, that I...
In this copper jug.
That I just tend to talk about way too much. So I'm kind of rocking a bone right now. Just kind of...
He's rocking the WB frog bone.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Todd is just... plunging his little pudgy hand in to see what he can find.
I'm very aroused right now.
A movie has been drawn. It's Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
Better not be fucking Armageddon.
His head moves around.
It's Armageddon 2, dude.
As if independent from his body. This is crumpled.
Hey.
This is well crumpled.
It's a suspense, Braj. Oh, I love it.
I'm very excited to watch The Rock.
Yes!
Holy shit!
Yes.
Stanley Goodspeed. This is my Sean Connery impression.
Yeah.
In all of its glory.
If James Bond had ever been like put in jail, that's what this movie would be right now.
Yes.
Yeah. No. That's good. I was like, there were a few I threw in there. I was like, man, this might not be. Yeah, The Rock. Oh, yeah.
Losers whine about their best.
I can already think about 8 portions of this movie that are going to get me rock fucking hard.
Carla was the prom queen.
The title is apropos because Travis is going to have a giant khaki boner. It's you. You're the Rocket Man.
God. I was like, I feel like we're just going to quote this movie the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, honey. You want to know who really killed JFK?
Thieves! Thieves!
I've said this so many times in my life, I don't watch enough Michael Bay movies. It needs to be more frequent.
There are some terrible like one-liners in here. Like, I tell you, my old man was Irish.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Help me out here. So, who Joel Schumacher? Is that the guy who directed it?
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Okay, so who's Joel Schumacher?
He directed Batman Forever. Batman and Robin. He directed The Client.
So are those guys intertwined? Are they like? Do they?
They're the same person.
Do they work? Okay. No. Exactly.
You never see them together at the same.
Exactly.
Time.
So like, I feel like all their films are the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
Well, they made some shitty ones. That's for sure.
So Michael Bay did that.
Yes.
Okay. So who did the?
Transformers?
God. No. I guess the original or the first Charlie's Angels. Was that
fucking Mick G?
Mick G. So who's Mick G? So who's he?
He's somebody that he fucking died and he remained dead and we can't talk about him anymore. I guess I don't know.
Is he? He's not dead.
He probably is.
He just went home.
He might as well fucking be.
Okay. So Mick G didn't do any of those. Now, did he do one of the Mission Impossibles?
You know what, Taylor? You might be right.
Jesus.
But before you think about that, think of a director that refers to himself as Mick G.
I know. Yeah. Well, see, and that's why I get confused. Like, so I know Michael Bay, but Schumacher, but he's always a director, he's not a producer or anything.
I think he probably produces. Once a director gets big enough, they always produce. They always want to get
the money. That makes sense,
They get more residuals.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
You know what you should call me? Mick G.
I think Joel Schumacher, he didn't do The Pelican Brief. He did The Client and maybe one other Grisham movie. But then he got sucked into the Batman Forever, Batman and Robin vortex. And
we've all been there.
Really, pop culture has never recovered from that. It's been a dark time for all of us.
Hey, Todd, what are you drinking over there?
Wow, that was
so odd. You might think it was scripted. We're drinking cervezas and tequila in honor of the fact that we're watching Three Amigos.
Yeah but ooh. What kind of cervezas?
Well, I believe we said this earlier, but Tecate, Pacifico, Dos Equis, Corona. Taylor's drinking a Lagunitas IPA.
Well, we're just we're getting here's the question: is what do we drink? So Stanley Goodspeed listens to the Beatles early on. So what do we drink for next week's episode? We're just getting spicy.
The Beatles were notorious for drinking whiskey sodas.
Oh,
so we could do whiskey sodas.
Yeah,
that could be the thing. Or we could drink something. We could drink Anchor, San Francisco. We could drink San Francisco centric booze.
Yeah. Rock.
And there are some cocktails that are native to San Francisco, too. So we've got a lot of options for that area. The question is, are you happy with your haircut?
I just want to know, are you happy with your haircut?
Oh.
Can we get a VX gas shot?
We might need one by the
end. What would be included in a VX gas shot?
I think we're just going to laugh hysterically the entire time. Yes. Like, this is one of those movies where it's like...
Three Amigos?
I just want to know how come it's not streaming right now. Con Air is streaming.
Yeah.
Yes, I watched it last week and got off my case about it. But it was like, how come The Rock isn't streaming?
Every weekend.
It's tough because if you believe the right people, we're headed for a recession. And so that's why you can't get The Rock probably or Gone in 60 Seconds streaming right now. We're headed for dark economic times.
Damn it.
So,
yeah.
Just something to think about. But anyway, you can listen, rate, subscribe to us, Apple's podcast, Spotify, anywhere you can find these. You can look at my reviews, moviereviews.us. You can enjoy those.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And this has been Todd Wofford, Taylor Owens.
Hey.
Travis Budd.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about all this mess.
Find us on IG, Facebook, Venmo, TikTok, Kit Kat.
I'm all over Vino. TikTok.
Yeah, you can...
I'm a TikTok Taylor, king.
Taylor, what's your Instagram?
Tay Does Vino. It has been erected.
Goddamn right it has.
Yeah, and we are a sister act too, back in the habit. Mm-hmm. We're just...
It hasn't been hardly erected, but it's been erected.
It's been a softie.
Hardly.
Yeah.
Todd Wofford Movies on Facebook.
Get that.
And Instagram.
I saw he just reviewed It too. I didn't want to read it because I didn't want spoilers. But
Boogaloo and Ad Astra.
Oh, you saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I've actually been wanting
tasty.
To see that.
It was tasty. It was a lot different than what the previews suggest.
Aww.
They suggest a more action-centric movie. It's
not
more,
so much. God damn it, Brad Pitt. You Plan B, son of a bitch.
If you liked Gravity and you liked The Martian, this is almost kind of a hybrid of the two of them.
My mouth is so dry. I want to hear that.
I don't know what that means.
What in the holy hell?
God damn it, Brad Pitt. You son of a bitch.
So handsome.
Coronation.
But anyway, this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. And we love you. And we want to move close to wherever you are in the same neighborhood and watch you as you drive to work. And make eye contact as we pick up our morning paper off the sidewalk.
But not say anything.
No. But maybe as you get just out of earshot, you have a good day.
What was our dirty sign-off today?
Today?
Suck it, don't shake it.
The hell?
Father, 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 father. Dip, 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 dip.